Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Summer in Vegas podcast here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark McHugh. I'm your host. Very busy show today. I decided to really kind of load it up, but without further ado, I want to meet one interesting person. I actually met her through Olivia Wilder's program here on the same network a couple years ago, and I have a privilege of being able to talk to her once again. She has a great benefit concert coming up this coming, I believe, Tuesday in New York City, which is really great. And her new album's currently out as well. Margot Ray is on with us right now. How you doing, Margot?
Hey, doing really well. This is Margot Ray. Actually, my show is Sunday night at the Cutting Room.
Oh, Sunday night.
In New York City.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the pre-launch. We're going to launch the album in January, but the New Yorkers are getting a sneak preview. So the only way to get my album is to be at my shows up until we release it in January.
Well, I mean, how is that for you? I mean, first of all, I mean, very few people, I don't think. How are you running the pre-sale? First of all, are you doing it via digital download, or are you going to have physical copies there?
I'm going to have physical copies.
Yeah, now that's interesting. There's always been talk about the idea that people are going away from physical copies anymore and just going digital. But there is something to say about being very tactile, to have something in your hand. I mean, people still collect vintage albums. Some people still collect, CDs. And I think that there's a lot to be said about having something very tactile in your hand as well. So that's pretty interesting, especially if it's signed by you, obviously.
Well, I agree with you. I also think, I'm going to have streaming and digital downloads, but I think there's plenty of time for that because the album is going to be released in January. So I guess what we're doing is a pre-launch. We're just showing everyone the show. It's a gorgeous show of Latin jazz, including my pop songs that made me very popular on Billboard, and just giving people a taste of what it's called. It's called The Roots of Ray. And it's an album that's made out of love of my roots as an American and a Latin American jazz performer. You know, I'm a jazz performer who writes pop songs, basically.
Yeah, and the artwork, I think, is really cool, too. Was that something you did, or did you have somebody else do it?
Oh, my goodness. I just got off the phone with my best friend. Her name is Dee Dee Flynn. She's an expert in marketing and technology. And she actually did that for me. It's from an actual photo shoot, but we made it kind of a surreal, vintagey album cover, like back in the day of when, there was a lot of, pride that took place with album covers and artists actually did things by hand. She gave it that look, and I really love it. If you look closely, my whole face looks like a painting, but the eyes are still a photograph. So the eyes are definitely real, like the part of the photograph. So it's one of those covers that'll, if you set it up on the shelf or the mantle, the eyes will follow you across the room. Ooh, in a good way.
Now you mentioned the album, about the idea of coming back to your American and Latin American roots as well. I mean, tell me a little bit about the process to this album. How long did it take you to kind of get this album kind of cut, and some of the processes you went through with this album? Obviously, you've been through the process before, but some of the processes and what did you learn through the processes? And tell us a little bit about how the album came about.
Oh, thanks. Well, basically, this process was a little different because I produce and arrange my own music. And I have been friends with this wonderful human named Oscar Hernandez, who is a three-time Grammy-winning composer, producer, arranger, and pianist. And we've worked together in many situations, but never in the studio. And we had this inkling to do this one day. So one day last year, I sat in with his band at a very reputable jazz club in Los Angeles called Catalina. And after I sat in, he called me the next day and said, "Why? You know, people just keep calling me and saying, who's that woman? And why aren't you working together more?" And so I said, "Well, let's do an album." And he says, "Actually, I have a little bit of time." And I said, "I do too, because my house flooded and my recording studio was destroyed." So we sat down. I was in a condo at the time, and I had a piano that I'd brought in. And we sat down at the piano and worked out what the repertoire was going to be. We started with about 24 songs and pared it down to 12. And so that made it a very fun process of going over, like, how we wanted to do it and what style. Basically, what The Roots of Ray is, it's a modern American and Latin American songbook that's curated for now, for the time. And it's for a reshaped and reimagined America. So it's going to be in English and Spanish, and it seamlessly goes into songs that are well-known as well as my original songs in a Latin jazz groove. So it'll be very sexy. Imagine, like, martinis, red lipstick, cocktail dresses and suits, you know, kind of like if Mad Men was in more of an international feel, like in multiple languages, that's kind of the vibe that you would be getting, like this, you know, Latin American Mad Men feel where everybody's sexy and everybody's got the suits on and the women have the perfect lipstick and it's just a sexy vibe, and it's something that you can play from beginning to end over and over and over. There's definitely an arc in the center, in the beginning, middle, and end. And that's what made it different. We finished the album. I guess we started working out the arrangements in January, talking about in December, in January. Had some pretty steady rehearsals, just he and I. And then rehearsed the band in April, recorded it in April, May, and then it was mastered by July. And I'm very fortunate to have mastered it. Well, I recorded it at Stag Street Studios, which is a pretty famous studio in Van Nuys, California, and mastered it at United Masters, which they've done, good Lord, they used to be called Ocean Sound. They've done Nat King Cole to Alabama Shakes. I mean, that's how long this recording studio / mastering studio has been around. And I'm just very, very fortunate for everyone to work with me as an independent artist and just been around some really, really talented people. And it just shows through on the album. I think people are going to make a lot of babies, at least try to this album.
I mean, how is the scene now, in L.A. in terms of the jazz scene? I mean, it seemed like there wasn't much, you know, with what's been going on in terms of entertainment and kind of demand, want and demand. But are you seeing that there might be a little bit of a comeback? Are you seeing some younger people in the audience when it comes to some of these jazz clubs you play?
Well, I'm most definitely doing that, but I'm not really interested in pushing this just into jazz clubs. Like I said, this is more of an international vibe. So Oscar and I just played a performing arts center. He had me on as his guest. We did the Performing Arts Center in Long Beach, and we'll be doing many, many more. So this is more of a tour, and it will be in the United States as well as, you know, other parts of North America.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
So as far as your answer to Latin, yeah. So sorry, as far as your answer to jazz in L.A., yeah, I mean, it's ever present, and things like that ebb and flow. I don't think, you know, the staple clubs like the Brado, where I play, and Catalina, they still draw an audience, you know. But the real attention to detail for music like this is going to be in a performing arts center, for sure. And that's where we're trying to, that's where we're launching it. And so I'm starting out doing the pre-launch in these smaller places, just to get the vibe going.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's interesting. I hope you can make it out here to Vegas to be able to do a performance out here. you know, and then New York, obviously. I mean, yeah. Why did you decide New York versus L.A.?
Because I already did one in L.A. The first one we did was September 12th. And then we did one in Santa Barbara. And then we did the Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. And now the Cutting Room. I am a former New Yorker. I was born in Mexico, raised in Texas, moved to New York. And now I call L.A. my home. And it just, you know, I had to share it with the staple, the big, you know, jazz cities of the world. Of the country. We're going to do one in Chicago, one in Atlanta, going to do one in Dallas. Just kind of pushing it around in order to, you know, gain lots of traction and momentum and until we can make it a full-blown tour.
I mean, what was it like for you to end up getting your Grammy and, you know, your several Grammys, but how was it like for you that first time around?
Oh, my goodness. Let me clarify. Oscar is a multi-Grammy winner. I am certainly pushing for the Roots of Ray to be considered up into the next year. Mm-hmm. I'm an 8-time Billboard charting artist. So definitely moving toward the Grammy realm.
I got mixed up.
Thank you. I will take
I got
that. And I think once you hear it, I think hopefully you'll feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. What was it like for you to see your name on the Billboard charts for the first time?
Oh my gosh. I mean, exhilarating. And just a real sense of just happiness to know that the audience is broader, to know that there's more ears and eyeballs basically attracted to what I do out of just a pure love for music and writing. Right now, I'm because the Roots of Ray is launching in January, and we are in the holiday season now, I wrote a holiday hit called This Holiday Night that is the number one most played original song of the last 6 years. And so to be able to see my name on the charts again every season really makes me quite happy. You know, it's unusual that original Christmas songs come out and are, it's not unusual that people write original Christmas songs. It's just unusual that they come out and they actually are embraced by radio and become a classic, which is what This Holiday Night and my version of Silent Night have become. So it makes me very, very pleased. And it's not without a lot of hard work and a lot of diligence and a lot of, you know, a lot of help from networking and radio promotion and just, you know, support of my music.
Yeah, I mean it's great. I mean, you know, it's kind of an accomplishment also to have a song like that, especially, you know, a Christmas song, because it seems like, you know, very rarely do you get a really good hit Christmas song. It seems like it's few and far between over the course of a couple of years. Maybe it'll be one song that in particular, you know, hits the charts. But that's pretty tough to write a Christmas song actually, versus any other type of song. So yeah, it's very interesting to see that as well.
It came out. Thank you. It came about in a very, you know, I like to say serendipitous. It came about in a very serendipitous way. Someone approached me and said that someone was making a Christmas album for children and would I be interested in submitting as a songwriter? And I said, oh, okay, well, does it have to be specifically for children or is it just that they were like, no, this is just this is the theme of the album. And I said, oh, okay, so this is in the middle of the summer years ago. And I filled my iPod up, my phone up with, you know, a lot of classical music and definitely a few of my favorite Christmas classics like Harry Connick's Sleigh Ride and a few songs like that, Vince Guaraldi, you know, the theme from Charlie Brown. And I went on a hike. I went on a hike and kind of just took in that vibe and came back home and sat at the piano and wrote it. And then, met with my friend Barrett Uretzian and said, "Hey, I wrote this Christmas song. You wanna play around with it tomorrow?" And he said yes. And I wrote the lyrics and the melody, and he kind of sat with me and we fashioned some chords around what I was doing. And then I got carried away. I was in the middle of recording the Habit album when I was doing trying to do just one song to submit, and I got carried away. My drummer and I ended up arranging two more songs and making it an EP. And so I submitted it, and lo and behold, it became a hit. And I am so, so very grateful.
Yeah.
You know, every year when I don't take it for granted.
Exactly. Well, speaking of which, I mean, last time, like I said, you were on my Friend Who Loves You show, and I was able to ask you a couple questions on there, but when we were talking about that, you are a breast cancer survivor, and obviously we're in the middle of breast cancer awareness month. We're just about finished with it, but how are you doing so far? I mean, are you, I'm hopefully that nothing's come up or anything like that, but how's it been for you in terms of your health, and how's everything going for you?
You know, thank you so much for asking. It's funny that we call it Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I really feel like it should just be, it shouldn't be specific to one type of illness. I think if there's going to be a month to just monitor your health in general, I mean, why not just make it October? You know, it's the change of seasons, it's fall. My birthday's in October, so it's always a good time to remind yourself, oh, okay, it's probably time to get a physical or get a teeth cleaning, get some dental work. And I'm doing remarkably well, thank you. Yeah, I've had that diagnosis twice, and I like to call myself a breast cancer warrior and not a survivor, because, you know, the warrior comes from just, you know, sharing my story, because people do relate, and I still get emails and requests to share and have an opinion of what's going on and what did I do. And, you know, everybody's journey is so very, very, very personal. And there's not just one way to go about it, you know, but definitely one thing that is universal is that you have to, in my experience, conquer the battle that goes on in your brain as far as forget about the why and the what and the who and the how, and just be proactive and get it out there, and don't push it down. You know, you cannot be hostile towards your own body. You know, that was probably the biggest mind game. Was I would say to myself, okay, my body created this. Why is my body trying to kill itself? And so I did a lot of meditation and spoke to my body and said, hey, I know that it was created inside of me, but this tumor, you get to have a new home where you live in a lab and you get to save some lives. And you just get a new vessel. You know, I'm not gonna be angry at my own body because it did come from me. I'm just gonna let it do its work, and it will teach me whatever lesson it needs to teach me in life and grow and enrich my songwriting. But it gets a higher purpose by getting scooped out and given to the hands of scientists. And that really is what got me through. And I said, this is not the thing that's gonna take me out. And in fact, I'm the perfect person and the perfect age to get it because I'm young and I'm healthy and I've always eaten organic and I don't smoke and it wasn't hereditary and all those things. But still, I got it. And healthy people get diagnosed all the time. I mean, you know, infants. You don't have to get hung up on the why, just on the, okay, what am I going to do now? So just do it. That's how I feel. That's what got me through. And thank you for asking.
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, it's not necessarily the tumor's fault. It just happens to happen. You know, so so, you know, you kind of learn through it and see the positives in it. So that's a really great way to kind of see what's been going on in terms of that. But it's great to hear that you have your health is you're doing well in your health. Obviously, with this tour, it's going to be a little bit more stress, but obviously, I think you're ready for the challenge. Obviously, speaking of your life, I mean, it's been kind of chaotic the past this summer. I'm pretty sure of it, between the album and getting everything kind of taken care of, and you getting divorced and all that as well. I mean, how's it been for you over the summer and getting ready for this tour with all the personal stuff going on?
You know, I'm very grateful for the music. I did not get married to get divorced, but, you know, people don't work out, and if that's someone else's choice to go and live their life a different way, then that's their choice. I'm just trying to get divorced because that's what married people do. if they split up, they get divorced. And I guess the only stress has been, the fact that there's things out there and things, statements said by the man I married that we're not married. And so it's like, well, okay, that's a new one on me after 10 years. So, but honestly, I was in the throes of this album, and when you hear my voice on this album, every single lyric could not be sung with more real emotion and what it, the absolute truth of what it is to love and let go. And that is the definition of jazz, is to just live life and pain and beauty and truth and improvisation, think on your feet and move forward, because jazz stops for no one. It's never the same way twice. And
you do a lot of improvisation. You know, you think on your feet and move. Maybe you might want to move in a different direction, or you want to go this way or that way or whatever. That's the beauty of jazz.
Yeah, it's all about being in the moment and thinking on your feet. I know being in the moment is an overused term now, but it's never been more poignant and more truthful with me at this time in my life. You know, I'm starting over. I founded a record label with the man I married, and I'm just moving on, doing my own thing. I'm doing every single element of my life is being redesigned, but the beauty of it is it's being redesigned by me and not anyone else, where in the past, you know, it wasn't, and it's okay. We all allow what we allow, and we just have to move on. We have to move on.
Now, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. I didn't want to cut you off. This has kind of been an interesting tour so far. I mean, obviously interesting summer for you and going to the fall here. I want to talk a little bit about the show up in New York, which, you've been doing some very interesting things in terms of the charity work that you're doing to benefit flood victims. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. All right. So since the Roots of Ray album is not available online or in stores, it won't be available until January, I designed a candle for the Roots of Ray. It's you can take it anywhere. My life has been highly portable lately. And so it's a beautiful round candle. It's scented specifically by a company for me. There's two different fragrances. And what I am doing at the show is I'm selling the candle. And if you buy the candle, you will get the promotional copy of the CD. And a portion of the proceeds of that sale will go to the St. Bernard Project and that's SBP, St. Bernard Project, USA.org. And what the SBP USA does is they basically get people from disaster to recovery faster. They kind of build a firewall so that flood victims, you know, people who are displaced from their homes are not gouged by, you know, fraudulent practices like a contractor who wants to charge triple for the drywall, or so-and-so who wants to, you know, gouge them for the plumbing. They actually become like the go-between, and they're just beautifully supported. And if you want to know a bit more about it, you can volunteer. A lot of this happened. I heard about it after Hurricane Katrina, about SBP USA. And I thought, well, I wasn't displaced in that way by any shape or form, but my recording studio, my entire house was flooded. And I've been a participant of the St. Bernard Project for a while via a very dear friend of mine who's on the board. And I thought, well, how perfect. What a perfect way to, you know, to be involved in a philanthropic way and also launch this album and totally do it from my heart. You know, being displaced from my home due to a different kind of flood. It wasn't a natural disaster, but nonetheless a disaster. And I just thought, well, let's see, music and philanthropy and happiness, it all goes hand in hand. And that's what we're doing. So if anyone wants to know more about what St. Bernard Project does, you can go to sbpusa.org. And if you're in New York, just come to the Cutting Room, thecuttingroomnyc.com, and come to my show, and I'll get you a candle and a CD, and you're doing a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, one last question, and then we'll wrap it up. Tell me a little bit about why the idea of candles.
Because it's a perfect form of swag. Everybody likes a candle. I don't need to carry small, medium, and large of anything. Not everyone wears a baseball cap. Not anyone. And it's also a light in the dark, you know. You can always use a candle, especially if it's in a metal casing and it's got a lid. You can take it anywhere. It's not fragile. And they smell delicious. And male or female, everybody likes candles. The lid of the candle has the album cover on it, so it looks like a little record. You know, and if you're selling to appealing to a male and female crowd, you know, not everyone wants the same things. You don't have to carry around a bunch of different stock of T-shirts and baseball caps, and it's just kind of a universal piece of merchandise that people like, and they make great gifts. They make great gifts. What do you think? I don't know. I always need a candle, and especially if my lights go out. I mean, if it's flooded and the power goes out, thank goodness I have a candle, and then I can put a lid on it and take it with me. What do you think?
I think it's a smart idea. It's a very innovative idea. You never think about that, really. I mean, and especially because you have two scents right now. I mean, two different scents right now. I mean, so they can choose which scent they want. And it does make a lot. It makes a lot of sense. Do you think, are they going to be available? Online or anything like that, or is that something you're considering?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in the process of rebuilding my website. I have margotray.com, and it's going to be all about the roots of Ray and all about the candle. I'll have an online store, and I can definitely fulfill these orders. Then that'll all launch in January. But for now, you know, we're just doing a pre-roll. So I want to know the people who gravitate to my music. I want to know what you look like. So there's no better way to do it than to get out there and tour the United States and meet people and say hi, instead of being virtual friends on some social site, which is also wonderful when people actually send me real messages and not just, you know, click like, click like, click like. Likes are great, but when someone really shares their story with me, you know, that moves me. That really moves me.
Yep. So, I mean, at Margot Way on Twitter, by the way, if you guys do want to reach out and, you know, if you're in the New York area, definitely head out on Sunday to watch the performance and get a very nice candle. Also Margot Way on Facebook as well. You guys can check that out as well. And hopefully you, hopefully that website comes up pretty quick and get it updated and all that as well. Bad news is that you're not selling the candles during Christmas season, but.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely selling. You can reach out to me. You can go to vcc@margotray.com. Just send me an email, and I will definitely fulfill the candle order. I have an online store already, but you just have to reach me through margotray.com. You can reach me through Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And if you want to meet my little dog, Pearl, she's got her own Twitter account. She travels with me everywhere. It used to be Gertie and Pearl, the two Frenchies, but Gertie passed away in March. And so now it's just me and little Pearl, and she's at Gertie and Pearl on Twitter. And you'll just see our little escapades as we travel the country.
Well, I mean, that's great. You know, happy travels to you going up to New York. Like I said, I'd love you to be out here in Vegas to be able to do a performance out here. I know there would be several places that would be probably almost perfect for you to perform at. But, you know, good luck on your tour. Best of luck to you the rest of the year. And I look forward to the album release come in January. Maybe we'll have you back then.
Mark, thank you so much for having me. And I would love to be back on in January. And please don't be a stranger. The Roots of Ray candles do make a great gift. Just hang in tight with me, and I'll be happy to send one out to you anytime.
Okay, margotray.com. You guys can check out all of her stuff over there. Margot, always a pleasure to be able to talk to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, wonderful. Thanks so much.
Oh, thanks a lot, Margot.
Thank you.
Goodbye. That was Margot Ray, everybody. Very, very talented singer. You know, Billboard charting a singer as well. Go to margotray.com. That's margorey.com. And you guys can check out those candles. If you're in the New York area, please go to her concert coming up a Sunday night as well. Now, I've got another guest here. He's an author. He's actually a local author here in Vegas. He has a really great book. It is called Old Timers Day, which talks about if God and the devil had a baseball team and who would they pick, and it comes with a lot of facts and all that as well. It's absolutely an interesting read. Richard Lopresto is on with us right now. Are you there, Richard?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How's everything going with you?
Everything is fantastic. I'm very blessed by God, and I'm just so grateful for being on your show. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show. I'm very grateful to you.
No problem at all. Can you tell us a little bit about how the book came about?
Yes, of course. I, approximately 9 years or so ago, a lady friend of mine who recently passed away, she asked me to come to Central Christian Church with her here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I was born and raised Roman Catholic, and I fell away from the church. And I've always been very spiritual my entire life. And I went to Central Christian Church for the first time. And as I was sitting there, something strange happened. I hadn't written anything in many, many years. And God spoke to me and told me to write this book called Old Timers Day. And he proceeded to, it was the strangest thing because I never had this happen to me in my life before. He spoke to me and started telling me the exact story and what to write down and the entire book. He basically told me to write the entire book. I really can't claim credit for the book because he actually told me what to write. And the book took 7.5 years to finish. And it was a labor of love, to be sure. But I'm so grateful I was able to write it and get it published and get it done, and now we're making it into a major motion picture.
Yeah, I mean, were you a fan of baseball before you started this project?
Yes, I've always been a fan of baseball my entire life, and I followed it, you know, closely throughout my whole life. I'm a sports fan, you know, very much a sports fan. And but I had never written anything of this magnitude. I had never, you know, this was a totally new experience to me. So it was a learning experience for me, both in going to a Christian church, which was very unusual after being raised Roman Catholic, and then actually writing a book that God gave me the entire story to write down. Every week after church, I would go home and write more and more of these notes as he would give me the game and everything to put in it. And then I just was able to complete the book with a very dear friend of mine who's known well throughout Las Vegas named Jerry Schaefer. He's a producer, director, and has written many books and movies and Broadway shows and all that. And he helped me to put the final polishing touches on the book. And he also wrote the screenplay for the book as well. And, of course, with my help. And now we have a screenplay, and we're going to make this into a major motion picture. I'd like to film a lot of it as much as we can here in Las Vegas. And then, of course, we'll have to go to other places to shoot other parts of it as far as ballparks and things of that nature.
Yeah, we have a really great ballpark here. The Area 51 have a really great ballpark. So that wouldn't be too much of a problem in terms of finding a really good place to film it as well. I mean, there's so many new sports teams coming in as well. But, it's very interesting to see that baseball does in religion do tie in once in a while, into culture. You know, you see it in several movies, even just references to the idea of baseball and religion. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I mean, it's an interesting contrast between the two as well. I mean, just going into it, I mean, how has the reception been in terms of this idea? And I mean, how's it been for you as a co-author, I'll say, and really at the reception?
Yeah, it's been actually, to be quite honest, it's overwhelmingly, the response has been so fantastic and positive from everybody we've spoken to and people who have read the book. And, it's strange to say this, but this is kind of like, I feel that now that I've completed this and with the movie going to be done, I actually feel that my life is complete now. I always kind of wondered, why I was here. It was a question I've asked myself my whole life, and now I realize that the reason I was here was to complete this book and to do this movie. Our Facebook page has had so many people go to it in the last few days and just hours. It's amazing the response once we started to roll out the publicity campaign, and it's just overwhelming, the response. I'm just so grateful to everybody who's taken their time to read the book and understand the concept behind it and just embrace it as people have. I'm so fortunate to have Foster Porter as my producer director on this, and Makita's helping me with, you know, everything. She's just been a doll. She's handling the Facebook and the Twitter, and she's going to do the website and everything. And it's just taken on a life of its own, thanks to God. All the glory goes to God. None of it goes to me. I want to make that clear. And if I get a little emotional, please forgive me. But it's been very hard to finish the book. I was injured. I was in a wheelchair for 7 months and then on a walker, and it came while I was finishing the book. And it actually turned out to be a blessing that I was injured so badly, because it gave me time to finish the book. So everything happens for a reason, you know. But I'm so grateful to you for having me on the air today.
That's not a problem at all. And sorry to hear about, you know, your accident and being able to do that. But you, like I said, you kind of turned that into a positive in terms of trying to finish the book and all that as well. I'm hoping it probably gave you some relief in terms of, you know, not thinking about, your pain or getting rehabbed or, you know, just healing up, you know, just to be able to put pen to paper and all that as well. Must have been great for you to be able to do that.
Yes, it turned out to be an amazing blessing. Turned out to be an amazing blessing for me, because I was able to really. I had hired two physical therapists and a doctor, and I pretty much trained nonstop for 19 months. So I actually lost weight in a wheelchair, which is very rare, and I was able to really focus in on the book and the movie and really, you know, finish it up strong. So it turned out to be a blessing, and now I can walk again, and I train almost every day of the week. So I'm just so grateful for even for my injuries. I was very grateful for them.
Before you wrote the book, I mean, were you still in the, were you an author? Did you do a lot of writing?
No, actually, no. That's what's so strange about it, because as God was giving me this assignment to do, I kept asking myself, I wonder why He chose me to do this, because I'm not really a writer. I can write, but I hadn't written anything in over 30 years. So it was kind of strange that He spoke to me and told me to do this. I didn't understand, you know, why He asked me to do it. But I knew that I had to complete it. And very fortunately, I was able to complete it. Thanks to God and thanks to Jerry Schaefer. And now I have to thank Foster Corder and Makita for helping me so much, you know, kind of getting the word out about the wonderful message of love and hope that is contained in this book.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about baseball players. I mean, there's nearly a century's worth of baseball players out there, and some are just absolute legends out there as well. And, you know, there's a whole building full of them over in Cooperstown. You know,
yes, there is.
For you to do, yeah. How's it for you to do a little bit of research into some of these people and, you know, and put them in the book and, you know, maybe learn a little about their lives and learn about, you know, what struggles they may have had or what things that they brought to the table, as it were.
Yes. Well, the Baseball Hall of Fame actually has a copy of my book, and I'm a benefactor donor at the Hall of Fame as well. I like to support the things that I believe in, and they've been very receptive to it, and I'm grateful to everyone at Cooperstown. And I'm also, I want everybody to understand that the players that God and Satan pick in the game, they're both living and dead, but the players don't know who they're playing for. That's one of the agreements that God and Satan made when they picked the players, that they're not allowed to interfere in the game in any way, and that they can't tell the players what they're playing for. So in the book and the movie, the players don't really understand, you know, at first why they're on this team and what the game is about. But as the game progresses, they realize that they think they're both playing for God. But in reality, one of the teams is playing for Satan. But of course, the players don't know that. So they compete. Obviously, the action in the game gets very, very intense. And of course, Satan tries to cheat. We know that. But the players that are on God's team, people are going to kind of wonder, like Pete Rose plays for God's team and Joe Jackson plays for God's team. And Satan's team takes no people of color. Like, he doesn't take any minorities on his team. God's team has all the Negro Leaguers on it and men of color. And Satan, of course, is, you know, he embraces racism and hatred. So his team is comprised of all Caucasian, you know, men. And the action in the game is pretty intense. And I actually believe that, you know, love and hope are, you know, this book sends a wonderful message. People have told me after they read it that they go back and read it again because it just makes them feel so good. So I'm very grateful that I was able to complete it and get it published.
Well, I mean, obviously got a really good reception for it. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if and when this becomes a movie as well. I know you guys are working on that right now and maybe looking for some, you know, some really cool casting in terms of it as well. And you got a lot of people that are interested in it as well.
Yes. We're very fortunate. The reception has just been overwhelming. I mean, people are so wonderful. They send me emails and texts and phone calls and I'm just so grateful that I was able to produce something. I wrote it so a child could read it. There's no profanity in the book whatsoever, so a child 9 or 10 years old could read it, and their parents don't have to worry about it. That was one of the conditions to writing the book. There could be no profanity in it. And it's kind of a We Are the World of sports movies, to where God basically tried to bring everybody together at the end of it. So it'll be very interesting. I just can't wait to hear, you know, more people tell me how they liked it. And I'm very grateful to you for the airtime today to speak about it. It's really very close to my heart.
Yeah, no problem at all. You guys can go to oldtimersday.com for the book. You guys can check out a little bit more about the book and everything like that as well. And you can also purchase the book there as well.
On Amazon as well.
It's on Amazon as well. Do you have any social media at all?
Yes, we do. We our Facebook is up, and it's just amazing the response on Facebook. I encourage everybody, and based on the help of Foster and Makita, we've got a Twitter account opened up as well. But the Facebook is really looking good now. I'm just so grateful to Makita for really doing what needed to be done with the Facebook, because, of course, I was on limited funds, so I really couldn't do a lot of the things I wanted to do. But now it looks like it's really coming alive now. So I'm so grateful to everyone that's helping with that.
Yeah, well, it's great. Like I said, you've got a really hit on your hands, and no pun intended. I'm really interested to see how this goes, because there is a demand right now for really good-hearted, religious type movies right now. They're doing well at the box office. So I think that there's definitely room for you in that mix, and hopefully we get this thing down to a movie. So best of luck with you in that. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, just that it's funny. It's strange how you said religious. I never looked at the book or the movie as religious. I like to call it faith-based and inspirational, because in my humble opinion, I believe it could possibly be one of the greatest inspirational movies ever made. And even the book, I'm sure you'll find when you read it that calling it religious would almost be a crime. I like to call it inspirational and spiritual and faith-filled would be a better way to describe it, okay? So I'm just so grateful for your airtime today to talk about this project, and I would be happy to get you a book or send you some books if you like, okay, or have somebody drop them off for you here in Las Vegas, okay?
Okay, then that sounds good.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
No problem, Richard. You have a great day.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Richard Lopresto, everybody. You guys can check us out, Old Timers Day. As told by God to Richard Lopresto, I believe it's called, official title. You guys can check that out Old Timers Day on oldtimersday.com. You guys can check out the website there, and it's also on Amazon, so you guys can purchase there as well. So we got a little bit of time here. Let me explain what's been going on. I'm sorry that we haven't been run around for the past couple months. Just September, I was sicker than a dog. So I could not do any shows then. I had a really cool show planned for September that I'm probably going to be probably not next week, but the week following. I'm going to be busy next week. I cannot do a show next week, but the week following, we'll be back on a regular day on Monday, doing a show. And we'll see if I can't book who I wanted to book before, the Boston Twins, who are professional wrestlers turned bloggers, which they're really interesting. They're an interesting couple gals, and they have some really interesting stories. So we'll have them coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we just had so many guests coming up. And then this past month has just been kind of hectic for me with the I have another, a couple other projects going on, and it just got, it kind of delayed me into wanting to get back on the radio. But this week it just wound up being that over the past couple of weeks I've just been getting a lot of requests for interviews, for people to get interviewed. And, this opportunity came up, especially with Margo. They wanted to be able to promote Margo's concert coming up. So I said I would do it today. So that's why we're doing a special show on a special day. So you kind of caught up with everything like that as well. Yeah, it's been kind of crazy, kind of been nuts. But we have a lot of guests that are wanting to be on. So I'll try to get maybe once every 2 weeks or maybe at least once a month trying to get this thing done. You know, things have been, life's been happening, and I haven't been able to book the show as I wanted to. So I'm finally into a point where I can start doing it again. You know, take a couple hours out of the week to entertain you folks and introduce you guys to some very interesting people that I come across. You guys will expect a lot more from me over the next couple months, especially considering we're in year 10 now. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing it for over 9 years. We're in year 10. I believe it's 10 years. I'll have to double check on my timeline, but we're in our 10th year, which is absolutely amazing. This is one of the oldest podcasts on the network. I think Fly Lady and a couple others outdate me, but you know, this is one of the longest running podcasts on the network, which I'm very proud. I'm very proud to have said that I've done this for that long. It's been a really cool ride. It's been really interesting to see how podcasting has changed and how much it was back when I was doing podcasting early on. It was a fad. It was a trend. But now we see so many people like Adam Carolla. We see Jill Sonnen. We see, a bunch of different other podcasters out there, Penn Jillette. Quite a few podcasters out there that started up shows over the past couple of years. And podcasting has become very, very popular. It's been interesting to see that kind of thing that that ends up happening. But it's just absolutely amazing for me to be able to see that we have been on the air so long to watch the popularity of podcasts come through. So it's absolutely great to be able to see that. So, and again, thank you guys for your support over the past 10 years. It's been ups and downs and all that as well. And I don't get as many live listeners as I used to. I get a lot of downloads though. So thank everybody for listening in. Over the past couple of years, like I said, we had some really great guests over the past 9-10 years that really just kind of did it. I'd love to do a couple more great guests before I really do wrap up the show, but I wanted to get to the year 10 to kind of cement the works in this thing. But also thank you to podcast Blog Talk Radio who gave me a chance. Sean Daly, who, sorry to say, has passed over the past year, two years ago, I think. He was a great guy, and he's the guy that got me into this. And met so many other great podcasters. My friend Olivia, really great podcaster. I haven't been going to her show. I don't know if she's been having a show lately. Things have been crazy and chaotic. For me on my end, I haven't been paying attention. I'm sorry, Olivia. There's just been so many great people that I've seen come and go on this network, both on the air and, having gone their separate ways. So, thank you for all the support, everybody, for the past 9 years worth of podcasting. It's been great. I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been interesting. I've gotten meeting a lot of people. I've gotten done a lot of things really, really great. So, it's just been really interesting to say the least. I've got I made a lot of great friends off this podcast. I met some really great people as well. Really great connections. So, and I thank the publicists that still contact me on a weekly basis to say, I have really great guests. I know that you would absolutely love to have on your show. Those connections, I absolutely love Thank you for giving me those opportunities to be able to interview some of these people and to be able to have some fun and be able to talk to people. So thank you to them as well. Like I said, the show it's been great. I mean, like I said, the network has been gracious enough to grandfather me into the new system and all that as well. So I'm very interested to see what they have to say in terms of me being one of the longest running podcasts on there. Like I said, I'm sorry, we haven't been doing it that often this past year. It's just been the whirlwind of stuff that's been going on. I was on a good streak in the spring, and then come summer, things got a little bit more complicated. And then I was back on the air in late summer. Like I said, September, I was sicker than a dog. I couldn't do it. In November, things just got a little bit too crazy for October. It just got a little bit crazy. So we're back. And like I said, we're going to do this. We'll do this more often, but it won't be as often as I used to. I used to be able to book these things every week. But just due to other projects, I'm doing films and documentaries now. And I don't always have that luxury, as well as I'm working and doing a bunch of other stuff. So I don't have that luxury. But like I said, I do thank everybody for sticking in there and listening and subscribing on our channel. Might as well plug that real quick. You guys can check us out on Stitcher Radio, of course, blogtalkradio.com, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes or any other format at which you wanted to subscribe to your podcast. You guys can do that as well. I believe Blog Talk Radio does have an app, so you can look that up in the stores as well. Besides myself, there's several other great podcasts on this network. And the thing I love about this network, it's just playing people like myself, to be able to do these podcasts. It's been fun, and it's been a great opportunity. I'm not making much money off of it. I don't have sponsors, but I do this because for the fun of the podcast and to be able to meet these people. So there's so many other people on this network that are homegrown based podcasters. So definitely check out other people's shows on this network, and you guys definitely check it out. It's been a wild ride over the past 9 years, and I've had so many opportunities and so much press about the show that it's just unbelievable. So yeah, so coming up, we have one more guest today, movie producer Angelette Miller. She'll be talking about two movies that she's bringing to the American film market, which is interesting because basically, they're looking to find distribution for these two movies as well. I didn't get a chance to watch both of them yet. I was able to see a couple trailers, but it'll be interesting to talk to Angelette a little bit about, you know, her goals in terms of this as well. So it's an interesting thing. Independent film right now is very, very hot with so many more outlets like Amazon and Netflix, and a lot of the cable networks are also picking up independent films. We're seeing a lot of venues that are really kind of wanting to take up these films. So it'll be interesting to talk to Angelette about what she thinks is going on in terms of the movie industry as well. So that'll be coming up shortly. So we're just waiting for her to call in. And then, like I said, next week we won't have a show. We'll have a show following probably. I'm going to try to get the Boston Twins on then. Talk a little bit about their stuff, because like I said, they're a very interesting duo. So we'll talk to them coming up, hopefully within the next 2 weeks or so. So I'll try to get at least one or two more before we hit December, and then maybe we'll get one or two in December before. And I've always had the outgoing Miss Rodeo. I'll have to double check and see if she's available. So we may do a show with her. We usually talk to her a little bit about her year as Miss Rodeo. So we'll kind of wait on that as well. But yeah, we'll have some interesting guests coming up. Quite a few that are still in the queue that I haven't scheduled yet. So we'll see what goes on there as well. Give me 1 second. I'm going to go ahead and play some music for you guys real quick. And then when I come back, we'll have Anjanette on, I think. I just want to double check to see if she has the number or she's, I'm calling her or whatever. So I'll be back in two shakes of a lamb's tail, just shortly. I just got to make sure everything's going copacetic with her. So give me 1 second, and we'll be back with Angelette, producer Angelette Miller. Okay, here we go. Without further ado, very good producer. He has two films currently on the marketplace. One's called Hard Visit, and the other one's called Wine Tasting. Angelette Miller is on with us right now. How are you doing, Anjanette?
Hello. Hi, everyone. How's your day going?
It's going pretty well. Really great show so far. You know, it's great. I mean, it's great to be able to have these two movies, you know, lined up. I didn't get a chance to watch them last night. It was a little bit too late, but I was able to watch the trailers for them at least. Both are very interesting projects, two different varying projects as well. I mean, how's that for you as a producer to have two projects that are kind of a little bit different?
It's very rewarding because I love the diversity in the film life, and it's fun. It's entertaining. I love action. I love drama. I love comedy. And to bring all of these film projects together in a different type of, I would say, fashion, I think it's extremely very rewarding as a producer.
Mm. Yeah, and, yeah. You know, and if, yeah, to be able to have a little bit mix up, it makes it a little bit better for you in terms of you know, you're not bored necessarily about what you do and all that as well. So it kind of gets your creative juices flowing.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And it was really, really kind of fun to definitely work with the different cast members and the crew, because especially on the Wine Tasting film set, almost every cast member and crew is also musically inclined. So in our breaks, we would actually have jam sessions and stuff. So it made the film life and the film set a little bit more fun to hang out and made the scenes, although we crunched the fully feature film in 5 days of filming, it made it fun because we kind of broke it up and just had those amazing jam sessions. And it just, yeah. So it's also with Hard Visit too. We kind of already knew each other. We had a couple of new cast members that came on with us. But no matter what, on the film set, we just make it fun. So it's very rewarding.
We're in a very interesting market right now in terms of films right now, and television shows as well. And the fact that there's so many different more outlets going on right now in terms of that as well. And this has basically helped the independent filmmaker because they can shop this around to different outlets, and that's what you're planning on doing with both of these movies. But you know, just looking at the scene right now, how's it for you, a producer, to see this? There's so many opportunities out there, and you know, and having to kind of navigate through that?
Basically, the opportunities in the video on demand, on the television, like with different networks, looking for films to put on their network. Also the Latin market, the Asian market, I think it's extremely well diverse now, and it creates a huge opportunity for cast members also to portray their acting skills.
And also get their names out there, because, you know, some of the best stars, you know, have to start somewhere. You know, and, you know, it's movies like yours that, you know, you could really start making some really big stars in terms of acting chops as well.
Exactly.
And, I mean, how has it been with the, you mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, it's been great working with these actors, but what's it been like to work with these actors? And I mean, are you seeing a lot of raw talent out of these people?
Yes, definitely. It gives them an opportunity also to rise to their peak and explore their different, how should I say, their different genres of acting skills. So it's going to be amazingly wonderful that to see them on film and different characters. And in reference to, like, a couple of the cast members are in both films. So, yeah, it's amazing that they could actually broadcast their talents worldwide.
Yeah, what was it like for the for you to, you know, to, you know, to be handed some of these scripts and to be able to see what you know, what content that you and your actors are dealing with or whatever like that? What's it been like to kind of, you know, go through and see what movies you would like to produce and which ones you ultimately did produce, like Hard Target and Wine Tasting? And can you go a little bit through that process?
Yes, exactly. It's really fun because what I do is I pick projects that I'm passionate about, and what I want to do is actually move the emotions of the audience and have them understand the film and understand the passion behind making the film. So this is how I actually pick my projects. So it's very interesting as a producer that we do have that opportunity. Some people just like to do the job, but some people actually – producers actually just pick their projects with passion. So these two were passion projects, indeed.
I mean, how much did you know about wine going into wine tasting?
Actually, I didn't know that much about wine, except that I have been to Sonoma and before, and I do know a little bit about the Malbec region in Argentina. I have traveled the world quite a bit, but the extensive taste when you taste the actual wine from different regions and to actually pick them out and pick the region that the wine is from, it's very interesting how a sommelier goes through that process and also through their, because they taste so many wines and it's really, really hard to pick the different fruits and the different flavors from the wine. So yes, I didn't really I knew a little bit about wine, but the film project, and we had a couple mentors on the film set, so it really helped a lot.
Yeah, you know, you have to have a talent. There's an actual, you know, physical talent that you have to add in terms of, you know, it's got to be natural, like your palate. You know, you have to be able to distinguish between different tastes and different things. So it's a very interesting. It's a very interesting, you know, subculture. I like to say in terms of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like having to go into, you know, into a sport. You know, and you know, you can all have. You'd be very physical, but necessarily you don't have to always have. Sometimes you just have to have the talent in order to make it to that next level. So. Very small A's,
exactly.
And especially considering how hard it is for small A's to be chosen as the movie shows. So yeah, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting world, to say the least, as well. how's it been on the other side of that? Let's talk a little bit about Hard Target. How was it for you to do a little bit more of a serious action, well, some action and, you know, part of this movie? And, you know, obviously a lot, it's probably a little bit more complicated to do Hard Target than it probably was for Wine Tasting.
Yes, it was. It's actually Hard Visit. And we did have basically a lot of intellect that we had to go behind and learn about sports betting. So, but it was fun. We still made it really fun. And it wasn't really so hard. It was just a lot of, as we wrote it and cultivated the script, we wanted to make sure that the audience was entertained. So it wasn't really so hard, but we just wanted to make sure also that they were captivated. And we threw in a lot of humor as well. And also it's about the acting world, too. It's about two brothers. One is an actor and the other one is a sports bettor, and how they come together in the business until a conniving woman comes in between them. So basically, yeah, it was a lot of fun regarding the last scene, and I hope you guys definitely tune in at some point once we get it on video on demand or on one of the networks to show. So here we go to AFM next week and look for distribution.
Now, I think, you know, a big complaint over the past couple years is the fact that we haven't seen a lot of women in the more powerful positions in terms of producing and directing all that as well. But I think that's changing over the past year or so, where we're seeing a lot more high-profile women take charge in terms of producing and directing as well. You know, what are you seeing in your end? I mean, are you seeing a lot more independent producers like yourself become, you know, more independent are women? I mean, are you seeing a lot more trend in that direction?
Yes, actually I am. We have an amazing network here in LA. It's called Women in Film. And also I was told that ABC and Universal, different other networks, are actually recruiting women in producing and directing roles and cultivating and nurturing their career. So there's definitely a rise in women in Hollywood now, which is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see. I mean, you know, there is a kind of a thing. I've had a couple films at the Artemis Film Festival. I'm not familiar if you're familiar with that one, but, you know, they are really into wanting to see more female roles in front of the camera and more female roles behind the camera as well. So, yeah, I'm kind of plugged into that network. I'm familiar with women in film. I've met a couple of people from there for when I was at the Artemis Film Festival. So, yeah, it's great to be able to see that's starting to be more of a trend well. So, you know, a lot of people. I mean, a lot of producers have like several projects working, like one's, you know, maybe in pre-production, one's in production, the other one's in post-production. I mean, are you kind of like that? Are you, you know, already in pre-production for your next project, or are we focusing on the two films heading to the market?
Actually, both, my dear. I'm focusing on these two films, majorly heavy hitting the distribution process of it, but I do have around five films and various TV projects in my pipeline. So there's always projects here in Hollywood that are in line to be made, but I definitely pick them passionately still. So I am focused on my next projects. And one's a great reality show that deals with celebrities and music, all the way to cooking shows, all the way to different love stories, a kids movie, the actor and director, Josh Mitchell, he has a slew of film projects as well. We have several actors with their film projects that they want us to produce. So we're always intrigued and inviting others to bring their film projects to us. And then we'll just pick and choose which one fits for that type of time period to produce and direct.
I mean, with these two films, I mean, how long was the shooting schedule for both of these?
We actually did it in 5 days with a couple of days extra of additional voiceovers, but basically an ADR work. But basically, yeah, 5 days for the whole entire shooting script, and that's for both films. So we really rock and roll it. We have a very small production staff.
Yeah, I mean, atypically, a Hollywood movie would go to shoot schedule probably roughly 20, 21 days, so roughly 3 weeks. And
exactly.
It's been interesting. I've done guerrilla filmmaking as well, where it's just, you know, you try to bang out as much as you possibly can in a short amount of time. So, it's an interesting thing in terms of, you know, first of all, you know, really just getting down to the brass tacks of it as well. I'm pretty sure you had a relatively small crew for both of these films, but obviously they're hardworking as well. But, you know, it is one of those things where it's interesting to see the product, you know, a product that's really been more of a grind than it has been, you know, your usual typical Hollywood kind of thing. So, you know, there's always that appreciation that you've done a lot of hard work in such a short amount of time.
Exactly. Thank you. I'm so appreciative of the staff, of the crew, and of the cast, because once they come on set, they know that we don't have a lot of time for retakes. And I've worked with this crew many times before, so we work really well together, and we know how to actually maximize and minimize our time slots. But more so, it's the director. He's the one who actually puts together the shooting script, and he is phenomenal. He is absolutely phenomenal. So he's the brains behind shooting within 5 days, Josh Mitchell.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, setting up locations as well. I mean, just to set up location, you know, and that's a lot of the deal with pre-production, because you really have to get that, you know, kind of going if you're going to do a 5-day shooting schedule like you guys did. So, again, very interesting way to go about it. So, it's really great to be able to see that filmmaking is still around too. So, sometimes I think nowadays, even guerrilla filmmaking, you know, like that, where it's just, you know, you grind it out as fast as you possibly can. If you got a good enough script and you got a good enough set of actors, you know, I think people actually love it in terms of, where it kind of goes and where it kind of heads. You know, so many people are just so big into these blockbusters now that,
right.
You know, sometimes they just want to sit down and watch a quality piece of work. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a really great time for an independent filmmaker.
Exactly, yes, and it depends on the budget, too. If you don't have a large budget, we can't shoot within, you know, for 21, 30 days. So we definitely have to fit everything in within the budget. But and it's also the locations. There's a lot of factors that are involved. But more so, though, definitely the crew and the cast. It comes down to that in the shooting script, the director, the producers. So we all work together. It's a beautiful synergy that I've had with this team. And I definitely suggest, whoever's getting into the business to find a beautiful, great team to join and try to stick with them.
Yeah, now, you were mentioning music earlier, that you guys are musicians and all that as well. How do you handle the music in terms of your movies? I mean, do you have an in-house band? Do you try to lease songs from other people? I mean, tell me a little bit about that process.
Basically, we do lease songs from other musicians, as well as we invite new musicians to come on and for our soundtrack. So I do definitely know a lot of people, and the director does, and other cast members do, that know others that are musically inclined. So we definitely invite them, and then we just do the music clearance paperwork. So we actually try to use independent musicians for our soundtrack.
Which is great because it gives them exposure as well. For people listening to the film and they like the music, then they'll look them up. So it's great for them too. I was interested in that portion of it too. So yeah, I mean it's a very interesting job. It's really a busy job, and there's a lot of work on your plate when you step into the role as a producer. But then hopefully that ends up paying off in the end, and hopefully we get you guys get a good deal over at the American Film Market coming up in a couple weeks as well, so we can actually see this on a distribution channel. So fingers crossed on that.
Thank you. So
yeah,
much.
I mean, anything else coming up for you at all, Anjanette?
Right now, I hope to start filming again early next year by February or March, but right now we haven't really pinned down the project, but there's definitely our projects and more projects coming up that we're going to go ahead and partake in. But for this year, I think that's going to be it, since we have only a couple months left. We're just going to focus on distribution for the rest of the year.
Well,
and enjoy the holidays.
Fingers crossed that we get distribution on that as well. But trailers are out for both movies, so you guys can check those out. I think Vimeo has it over at the production site. So if you guys want to see trailers for these two movies, feel free to do so as well. And then any social media or anything at all, Anjanette?
Yes, we do have some Facebook pages for both films as well, Heart Visit and Wine Tasting. So please check those out, as well as the IMDb pages as well.
Yep, so definitely check out the trailers for that, and hope you guys will be able to watch those on some sort of service coming soon. So we'll be able to, hopefully you'll be able to do that as well. So I know you guys will let me know as well. So Anjanette, thanks a lot for your time. And again, best of luck to you coming up to the American Film Market, and hopefully you get those things sold.
Thank you so much. And please check out our Instagram page as well. And it was such a pleasure
to speak
with you today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Anjanette.
Thank you, and enjoy your night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
That was producer Anjanette Miller, everybody. Heart Visit. I'm sorry, I said Heart Target. Sorry, I had that on my mind. Heart Visit and Wine Tasting. Both trailers coming up, and hopefully you guys will be able to see that either on demand or, on your favorite streaming network or even on television. So please look out for that as well. Let me think, anything else? That's it. No show next week. Like I said, I'm going to be too busy next week. Following week, I'm going to try to get that booked. I have a couple guests that are wanting to come on, plus I may try to get the Boston Twins on in 2 weeks. So it'll be back in our regular time slot Mondays. So Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Pacific more than likely, 3 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, 1 and 4. 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. So that'll be coming up week Monday, I think. So definitely check that out as well. Check us out on Twitter at SWIV, that's SWIV, stands for Somewhere in Vegas. It's our initials. Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook as well. And definitely check out some of the other shows, great shows here on blogtalkradio.com. With that in mind, we'll see you guys in about a week and a half, hopefully, on this again. Thanks a lot for your guys' support. We're going into year 10, which is really, really nice. Basically, very few podcasts can say that, in this world. And again, thank you for listening. And we'll be back for some very more interesting guests coming up here in year 10. Thank you guys, and I will see you guys a week from Monday.